Hello and welcome again to the Issues of Life. I'm your host, Pastor Kelvin Muhammad, and I'm so glad that you are with us today. I bless you today in the name of our King, and I declare God's blessing and favor upon your life and upon your family. We want to welcome you to this special program, and we want to also encourage you to give us a call. If you have a need or you have a prayer request, call us at 636-1307. You can call during the course of this program, or you can call us after the program. We are located in Coover Apostolic City Church. That is, we are upstairs Royal Castle, Southern Main Road, Coover. And we have two meetings on a Sunday morning. Our first meeting is at 8 a.m. and our second is at 10:30. All are welcome. We encourage you to come and be part of what God is doing. I'm reading in the Bible, the Word of God. God says in John chapter 8, verse 5. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such a one should be stoned. But what do you say? They asked Jesus. Of course, these were the religious Pharisees that brought the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. And they were ready to stone her. They, as it were, threw her before his feet. And verse 6 tells us this. They said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground, and his finger, or with his finger, that is, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised up himself and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised up himself and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Jesus bends down to write in the sand. This may be called letters in the sand, perhaps love letters in the sand. The woman is caught in the act of adultery. Perhaps she is deserving of being stoned to death. Jesus comes and he puts an entirely different picture of grace and of forgiveness on the whole story. What are we to do with the woman that's caught in the act of adultery? What are we to do with those who are condemned to death? What is God's solution in this day of the new covenant? Jesus stoops down. He begins to write. Could it be that while you are being condemned, Jesus is writing to you? Because you see, my friends, the religious multitude are ready to stone you. They are ready to condemn you. They are ready to throw stones in your dirt. Jesus begins to write, and I want to submit to you, he's not writing to the Pharisees, as we've often heard. I want to submit that he's writing to the woman. He's writing in the dust of a human expression. He's writing in the dirt of her life. He's writing in the very place where she finds pain and where she looks ugly. He's writing in the dust nature of her being. He's writing in her first Adam. He's writing in the place where she is weak. And he's writing forgiveness. And perhaps he's writing, I believe in you. And perhaps he's writing, you can do all things through me. Perhaps he's writing, I'm giving you another chance. Perhaps he's writing, I believe that you can do it. Perhaps he's writing to her, and perhaps he's writing to you, I have never given up on you. Perhaps he's writing to you, forgiven. Perhaps he's writing, you are healed by his stripes. He's writing, and I want to submit, he's writing, he's putting his signature on her. And whenever you sign your signature, you sign your name. And what is the name of God? It is Jehovah Jireh. It is Jehovah Nissi. It is Jehovah Rapha. And when he writes Jehovah Rapha in the dust nature of your soul, I promise you, you are healed by his stripes. And not only are you healed by his stripes, but you become an agent of healing to others. And when he writes his name, Jehovah Jireh, in your soul, I promise you that not only are your needs met, but you become an agent to supply the needs of others. Jesus puts his finger on her. Men had fingered her, and men had done her wrong, but now he has put his hand on her. He has written upon the dust nature of our soul. He's written in the sand of a human expression. He's written into a humanity. He's doing something that the Pharisees do not have the grace to do. You see, Pharisees are very good at stoning you. Pharisees are very good at throwing the stone at you. But Pharisees do not have the grace to write into your human expression. Pharisees do not have the grace to write into your destiny. Jesus puts his fingerprint on you, and consequently what he does is that he leaves his mark of identity on you. I'm speaking to people today who need to be written upon. Or indeed, men have put their hands on you. Religious men have put their hands on you. But now you need a divine imprint. Now the divine and the human must merge in your soul. Now God must touch the clay of your humanity. He must come down into your earth. And he must put his hand in you. And he must touch you just like he touched the blind man. And he paced his eyes with clay. And he went and he washed in the pool of Siloam. Now he comes and he puts his hand on her. The Pharisees think he's ignoring them, but he's actually writing to the woman. Jesus is writing a letter to you. He's writing a letter of forgiveness and cleansing, and he's writing a letter of hope. You don't have to give up. There's a letter of hope that he's writing to you. Indeed, the woman stands, the Bible says. Her accusers had gone at this time. And the woman stands in the midst, and the Bible tells us they had all gone. So in whose midst is she standing? And I want to declare to you, she's standing in the midst of him. And as she stands in the midst of him, she loses her fear. She loses her insecurity. She loses even her enemies. For she stands and he says to the woman, "Where are your accusers?" And she says, "None, my Lord. They have all gone." But had they all gone, I declare to you, they had only changed location geographically. Her enemies had not gone. But as far as she was concerned, they were gone. Because he had written upon her. And when he had written in the sand of a human expression, when he had written in her soul, she had lost every trace of accusation. She was free, and free indeed, like the woman of the well. Her personality was altered forever. Indeed, the master has laid his hands on her. He has put his print on her. He has left his mark of identity in her. She is transformed. The eternal has touched the natural. The supernatural has touched the natural. And now this divine power has touched her in the name of Jesus. He's written on the tablet of her heart. You see, there was a time when God wrote on tablets of stone and the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. But those were too high. They were too lofty. Men could not reach them. But now God comes down and he writes. He writes in the fabric of our human expression. I tell you, my friends, when he writes on you, you will never lose the purpose of God. You will never forget who you are in him. The woman stands and he says, "Where are your accusers?" She says, "None, my Lord." Because as far as she was concerned, the spirit of accusation had left her. She had lost the spirit of accusation. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you lose the spirit of infirmity? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you lose the spirit of condemnation? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you lose the spirit of accusation? Today, he's writing on the tablet of your heart. He's writing. God says in Jeremiah that I will write my law in their hearts and I will cause them to know me, and indeed they shall be my people. Oh, not a denomination, not another church or religion. They shall be my people, carrying my mark and my identity and my purpose. And he's still writing. I believe in you. He's writing. You can do all things in me and through me. You see, my friends, Jesus wrote in the dirt that others were despising. And I declare that God writes in the dirt of, he comes down where you feel dirty. He comes down where you feel unclean. He comes into the very place, my friends, that the Pharisees are ready to stone you. Jesus was not throwing a rock at her. The Pharisees were ready to do that. You see, my friends, you can either be a rock that is thrown at someone or you can be a rock that is built up into a spiritual house offering spiritual sacrifices. All of us are called rocks, and the Bible tells us that we have come unto him a living stone, rejected indeed of men. But you also as living stones being built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God through Jesus Christ. Indeed, we are called to be rocks, but we're not called to be rocks that are thrown at people. We are called to be rocks that builds up and builds up a spiritual house. I ask you, my friends, I ask you, are you a rock that has found its purpose? Or are you a rock that's thrown around here and thrown around there from one church to the other, from one assembly to the other? What are you doing with your rock? What are you doing? You can throw your rock at somebody's dirt, or you can help to build someone. And I say to you, my friends, when you understand your destiny, you will be a rock indeed that builds someone. Jesus touches her dirt. On another occasion in the book of John chapter 9, Jesus finds a man who's blind from birth. And while his disciples are concerned about who has sinned and about what is the generational curse and how far can we go back with it, Jesus says the issue is not who has sinned here. The issue is that the man needs to be healed. The man needs to be restored. And indeed, Jesus spits into the dirt and he takes the clay and he mixes it, and the King James uses wonderful majestic language. It says he anoints his eyes and he paces his eyes with this clay and sends him to wash in the pool of Siloam. I declare to you, my friends, that Jesus is anointing our eyes, and indeed he's causing us to see our true nature. He's causing us to see the dust nature in a paradox, so that we may go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And the word Siloam, it means sent. He sends us to a sent multitude. There is a sent company of apostles and prophets who are literally sent into the earth, who will wash your eyes so that you may see in the pool of Siloam, so that you may see the man that you were born to be. The eyes of the blind man is opening today. God is opening the eyes of the blind man. The blind man is seeing who he's born to be. James tells us that he looks into the mirror of the word of God and he sees an image.